Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the RRS Collaborative Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. However, if you should need assistance at any time during the program, please press star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, this program is being recorded. I would now like to introduce your host, briefly, Ms. Hillary Jalon, and I would now also like to mention all the hospitals that are online with us today. We have St. Catherine. We have John T. Marath Memorial, Hackensack University. We have North Shore University Hospital. We have New York Queens Hospital. We have North Shore LIJ Health. And we have Glen Clove Hospital. And we have St. Charles Hospital. And we have Sosset Hospital as well. And that is what we have currently.
Anything else, Jonathan?
Sorry. There was also Lenox Hospital there.
Okay, great. Thanks so much, Jonathan. And thank you all for joining us today. This is Hillary Jalon. And also on the line with me are Zainab Sumer and Rafael Ruiz from the Greater New York Hospital Association. Terry Straub may be joining us later, as well as Rachel Block. And we also have Dr. Mark Rosen on the line with us, who's the rapid response chairperson. So welcome, everyone. We really appreciate your taking the time today to join us. I'm just going to give a really brief introduction and tell you about a couple of the handouts, and then we're going to get into the first point on the agenda. Today's call is mostly going to focus on progress with the rapid response intervention, and then we're going to get into talking about some of the website updates on Jenny. We really have gotten a lot of new information out there, and I know some of you have been looking at it, but we really want to encourage all of you to go on it. So we're going to give you a little tutorial on what's new out there. So the handouts that we sent to you yesterday include an agenda, a 9-page PowerPoint document with just some screenshots on the Jenny website, and then it also included some follow-up on the SBAR communication session, a list of conference calls, which we will be describing to you a little bit later during the call. And finally, it also included some of the ratings that you gave the program on May 15th for the rapid response learning session. So without further ado, I'm just going to introduce the first topic we're going to talk about is progress with the rapid response intervention. During the learning session on May 15th, six hospitals provided an overview of some of the work they've done with the rapid response intervention. So we would have loved to have had all hospitals in the collaborative present, but obviously there wouldn't have been enough time. So what we wanted to do during this conference call was to really start hearing from some other hospitals that we haven't heard from recently, see if there are any existing barriers out there. And similar to what happened at the learning session, we don't have Kathy Duncan here today, but we do have Dr. Rosen, and he can try to help you problem solve with some of the things that are going on in your institution if, in fact, you are encountering any barriers. And just one more thing to say about that, we are going to be starting to schedule some site visits, hopefully starting this month. And we'd love to go to your hospitals and see what you're doing with the intervention and with some of the culture of safety activities and really try to help you if you are encountering any kinds of problems. So before we actually call upon some of the hospitals on the line, I wanted to see if possibly anyone wanted to volunteer to start this conversation off. Again, just some, if you're having any barriers, laying them out, what are they? And then any kinds of plans you hope to start to try to encounter some of those barriers. And again, Dr. Rosen is here to help as well. So the way that you can do this is to press the 1 key, and it will open your line. And if you could just say who you are and what hospital you're from and then get into a discussion about that, that would be great. So we'll try that first.
Yeah, hi, this is Mark. Also, it's not just for me or Hillary to try to help, but you know, between us on this telephone, we've got a lot of accumulated experience.
Exactly.
And this should be more of a conversation than about, you know, what my opinion is or Hillary's opinion or
exactly.
Rachel's opinion. You know, and this is not really an exercise in trying to embarrass anybody, but some people are pretty far along, and we've really been focusing on people who have success stories to tell. And as this is a collaborative and we're all in this together, you know, it's sort of in everybody's interest to help everybody us out, and it's sort of our obligation. So what I thought we'd do is, you know, some of the groups that we haven't heard from who are having trouble starting up, trouble maintaining, you know, there's a lot of accumulated wisdom here. So maybe we can hear from some others who are having not such stellar and smooth sailing, because it's got to be happening out there. Anybody?
Cabrina Hospital has queued up.
Okay, great. Hello?
Hi, hey, Hillary.
Yes.
Hi, this is Andrea from Cabrini. How are you?
How are you?
Good. So since last time, we had Dr. Smith report on our early success, and we kind of started up rapidly, did a quick planning, and had some really good results. We piloted it the end of November. December, January were great. And then we saw a little bit of a drop-off in February, March. So what, as a team, we just decided to really push the educational initiative and really try to keep it on the top of everyone's consciousness. And the utilization actually tripled when I looked at the calls per 1,000 discharges for the month of April. So that really worked. It'll just be trying to maintain the gains. And also something that we did in order to look more for missed opportunities is we're having the residents fill out, in addition to their resuscitation reviews, which they fill out with cardiac arrest, they're doing a little 24-hour pre-code evaluation, and they're looking, could this have been an RRT call? So we're trying to be proactive and see more missed opportunities.
That's great. So what you said in February and March there was a drop-off?
Yeah, there was a little bit of a lapse. We also had a lower census, but still with the standardized rates, we saw a bit of a drop-off from the initial momentum. And then we expanded it hospital-wide, not only patient care, but everywhere in the hospital in April, and really put a lot of signage up, and people were talking about it, and then we had a good result. So the challenge now will be maintaining that going forward, you know, May, June, July, and through the summer.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is sort of like a lot of programs, you know, at the beginning everybody's all charged up, and then fatigue sort of sets in.
Exactly.
until everybody sees the value, and it just becomes, well, this is what we do, and then you don't have to worry about it so much. Are you running meetings at intervals, really reviewing it monthly and going over it? I guess you are.
Yeah, we're monthly, and then also the residents are reviewing it, you know, as it happens, more concurrently. And I'm getting copies in QA of everything, so at least monthly. We have formal meetings every 4 weeks. But
that's great, yeah. All right, and the leadership is still involved. You know, the people, you're obviously still involved, but the people, you know, who are really running it. You know, there's always fatigue. The staff gets fatigued. The people who are running these things get fatigued. But, again, it's just, you know, as long as this is routine and part of doing business. Do you also find that the staff sees the value in this?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We put all the PowerPoint presentations on the units and try to talk it up so people can see, you know, our mortalities are dropping. They're really doing something. And it also goes to the PI and leadership meeting so that all of administration knows. And it was helpful also that the monthly reports that we submit to Hillary, the report to leadership, has been a good form. So we can just send that along so they're on top of what we're doing as well.
Okay.
That's great. Andrea, actually, there was something else that a lot of hospitals, not a lot, but some in the collaborative have had struggles with the team record form and getting all the information back on it. And you described to me once a pretty good process that you had for that. Would you be willing to share that with the group, too?
Sure. Well, we really have one person who takes ownership and is accountable for getting it, and it happens to be the ICU nurse. And they volunteered for this, so it wasn't like they were assigned. Unfortunately, she's not here right now to talk about it, but she's doing a great job. And I'm also on the pager list. So when they're paging the rapid response team, I have a record on my pager of the location, the time, the date, And the next day I go up and check my box and expect to see it there. And if it's not there, in the beginning, you know, there was sort of time lapse, and I would just contact her directly and make sure that I got it the next day. But it really has worked having one nurse, one person be accountable for it. And right now they're simply just Xeroxing it, giving me a copy. Eventually it'll be a formally printed form, but we did it without adding any money. So she's just putting it in my box, and for the most part it hasn't been a problem.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
It looks like we do have North Shore University Hospital.
Oh, great.
Now queuing up.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Monica from North Shore University Hospital.
Hi, Monica.
I just want to add to what Andrea has said regarding who's responsible for the sheet, for the RRT sheet. I think that's a really important documentation. For our implementation at North Shore, we had asked the respiratory therapist to be responsible for the yellow sheet. Then the secretary from that department is accountable to send it to quality management, where we put it together and analyze it on a monthly basis so we know how many calls we have, what were the calls that were generated for the month, and where we could troubleshoot and improve our processes. That methodology has worked very, very well for us. So it's not the nurse. We have not asked the nurse to be responsible, but a respiratory therapist.
Thanks a lot, Monica. And I think the whole thing is everyone has a different process
right.
that works.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely, whatever works best at your institution is the way to go.
Right.
Anything else you want to add, Monica?
Well, I think that we had been successful with our implementation of the rapid response team, which we started in July of 2006. Now, the next challenge that we're facing is, of course, we want to spread this to the pediatric department and mm-hmm. to the OB department, which is totally different from our medical surgical rollout. So those departments are in the process of meeting and forming their team, and then they will be trained as a team for the rapid response team. Some of our teams are already, like our pediatric team is already in the simulation lab every Monday,
mm-hmm.
and some of our OB team are already in the simulation lab every Wednesday. But we have not implemented that yet in the university. We're just training them as a team together.
That's great.
I would suggest also that you could get the medical team to make house calls on the OB service.
Okay.
Only because, you know, it's going to be one of two things. It's going to be a medical issue or it's going to be an obstetric issue.
Mm-hmm.
And for sure, the obstetricians are going to need to know about the patients anyway.
Okay.
You know, so certainly somebody's got, you know, if this is a pure OB issue where the baby's coming out or something, you've got to do a rush something,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's a different thing. But, you know, changes in mental status, blood pressure, vital signs, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that's all medicine anyway.
Good suggestion.
And that could be implemented pronto.
Okay. Good suggestion. We'll certainly share that.
Before the committee, right. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's part of the rapid response team's responsibility to call the primary service immediately.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody having problems? Anybody not really yeah. started yet?
Yeah, anyone... Operators, anyone in the queue? Again, you press the one key.
And we just had someone just to enter the queue from Lenox Hill.
Great. Thank you.
Hillary, just so you know, I'm here.
Hi, Terry. Terry's joined.
Yeah, you're late, Terry. Make sure it doesn't happen again. Just kidding. All right.
Hi, Hillary.
Hi, Vivian.
Yes, it's Vivian from Lenox Hill Hospital. Our major obstacle, of course, is we haven't gotten off the ground because we haven't gotten the nursing component on board as of yet. We have the intensivist as our leader who has volunteered for this undertaking, but are there any existing processes right now that does not necessarily include the RN in the response?
This is Mark. I don't know of any. There's always a nurse included somewhere. It may not be an ICU nurse. Does anybody on the call not have a nurse as part of the process? Nobody's chiming in.
Well, they're all muted, Mark. Once Vivian gets off, then we can see if there are other people. We do get monthly team reports. And most of them that we get from the hospitals indicate that there is nursing involved. One thing Kathy Duncan had said in the past, I just remember her chiming it in, was not to get too hung up on team composition and to try to persevere with the resources that you have.
I see. Okay.
The other thing is, let me just make a comment. I mean, it seems to me that nursing leadership would really want this to work and contribute.
Right.
Because after the patients who would benefit the most, the group that appreciates this the most tend to be the nurses. You know, the docs all can turn around and say, yeah, we would have figured this out anyway or something. But it's really the nurses who get the most satisfaction and benefit out of a successful intervention. So I don't know. It's a hang-up that that they think it's got to be an ICU nurse because
They're considering other alternatives in terms of perhaps the nurse managers or the covering ADN. They're trying to facilitate the process with other alternatives. But I concur that our nursing leadership does want this to happen.
Okay.
They do know the benefits. They are aware of the benefits to the nursing staff as well as the patient.
Yeah. I'll share again. I know I've told you guys this before, but when I was at Beth Israel, we went to the VP for nursing and said, we want an ICU nurse. And she said, there's no way you're getting an ICU nurse. I said, okay, then who? Because, the ICU nurses are all taking care of patients and the staffing is up to the hilt, and you all know this. I said, all right, so who's a big responsible nurse? She said, the nurse administrator in charge, whoever the nurse is on call. And it turned out to work great because, those are the people who are authorized to move beds around and make things happen. So that's my suggestion. If you don't have to get hung up on an ICU nurse for this one, especially if you have an intensivist involved.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Anything else?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just going to ask Vivian if there was anything else.
No, Hillary. So far, we're just going to try that stance and see if it works for us.
Okay, great.
Thank you very much.
Okay, and we do have Brookdale University has queued up.
Great.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi.
This is Trevor Grisant from Brookdale.
Hi, Trevor.
Just like Vivian, we've been having problems with ICU nurses because of staffing issues. And what we propose to do is to allow the nurse managers, and we created a pool with ICU experience to carry the beeper so that they can respond to the rapid response calls initially until we've got staffing for the ICU area that the ICU nurse can go to the calls. So we have tried to use the nurse managers and the ANCs on evenings and nights to respond to the calls because of the shortage that we have been experiencing with ICU nurses. But initially, when we first started, the camaraderie that the ICU nurse got and the welcome on the floor, it was very enthusiastic for them, and they really wanted to go. But because of the staffing issues now, we are having a little problem.
Okay.
Is it working out the other way for you, though, with the nurse managers assuming the responsibility?
Yesterday we had a subcommittee meeting, and our program really needs to be rebooted again. We started, the enthusiasm was there, the responses were great, but it petered out.
Yeah.
And we are trying to revive it now, and we had a subcommittee meeting yesterday, and this is the approach we think we're going to take in order to get it jump-started. And maybe, in July, we'll be able to send the ICU nurse back to the floor, part of the rapid response team.
Yeah, look, I mean, I agree, but, the ICU nurse is ideal, but, and this goes against all my politics, but I'll quote Donald Rumsfeld, if you fight the war with the army, you got.
Yeah. We just
and if the army you got is, yeah, right. And the army you got is the nurse manager, and, it's better than better than nobody.
Yeah. And the administrative nurse coordinators, which have on the evening and the night shift, they would respond also to the calls and be supportive to the nurses on the floor and the process.
Right. okay.
Okay. Thanks, Trevor. Is there anything else you want to tell us about your process there?
Well, as I said before, we are trying to get it off the ground again and get it moving again. We had a subcommittee meeting yesterday, and the nursing component was the issue.
Mm-hmm.
So we're working on that, and hopefully that would work. Administration have got to buy in. The nurses are enthusiastic to go. Everybody just want to go with what we have rather than to let it go.
Right.
Yeah, you know, Kathy Duncan talks about all this all the time, but one of the other effective things to do is, you know, get out there and advertise a success story.
Yeah.
You know, at a nursing staff meeting or a grand rounds, you know, talk about somebody whose life you saved.
Right.
Because of and mm-hmm. surely there must have been somebody who's a success story so that, you know, it gets people's interest.
Yeah. We've also brought to the committee and to the floors the discharges from the hospital following a response from the rapid response team. I mean, 60% of the responses were discharged from the hospital, as opposed to those patients who experienced CODES. So it was a much positive outcome, and we see the numbers, and we see the benefit of it, but it's just getting it moving and getting the enthusiasm to maintain the enthusiasm on the floors.
Yep. All right, I hear you.
Thanks, Trevor. Ooh, the echo.
Somebody's on a speakerphone. Not anymore. Okay.
So, operator, is there anyone else in the queue?
Not at the moment.
Okay. Again, to get in the queue and talk about some of the experiences you're having, like some that Brookdale and Lenox Hill have told us in Cabrini, press the one key. If we don't hear from you, we are going to call upon a few of you to just get a few more experiences. Operator, anyone press the one key?
Not at this time.
Okay. I'm going to ask if someone from St. Luke's Cornwall is there and would like to say a few things. Because I heard them on the roll call. If you could press the one key.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Hi.
Donna?
Yes.
Hi. So again, I know you're doing, you're one of the hospitals that started kind of at the beginning of the collaborative. You didn't have some of the experience that the other hospitals had. So just if you could talk a little bit about some of the things that you've done and any kinds of barriers that Dr. Rosen or anyone on the line can help with.
Well, we piloted our program on 3 med surg units. The area is covered as recommended by critical care nurses and a respiratory therapist. We're finding that patients are being transferred from med-surg areas into intensive care areas without rapid response calls, but this is an educational and a learning process here.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen a decrease in our codes in these med-surg areas, and we have taken it throughout the entire hospital.
You have? Okay, you did do that, yep. And are you finding the educational piece? I know that was something you and I had talked about in the past. Did that go over well with the staff?
Actually, it did. It did. And I think we were complimented because prior to going out to the other areas, such as L&D and pediatrics, they made calls to the rapid response system. So, and we didn't take the education out to them yet because they weren't a part of the pilot. So I thought that was good. And so they do continue to call the rapid response. Additionally, we have two campuses, so we're going to be taking it out to our other campus as well in the near future.
Okay. Mark, is there anything you want to...
Yeah, question, I mean, is there an issue in getting it out to the rest of, you know, are there resistances, are there instructions to getting it out to the rest of the units?
No, it's not resistance.
Okay.
They are appreciative of it, and they like having this available to them as a backup system for patients who potentially are unstable.
All right, no, this is great. I mean, that's the way it should work in a frictionless universe. It sounds like you're rolling it out pretty successfully.
Yeah, we're doing okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Donna.
You're welcome.
Oh, and pardon me, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
We did have Lisa from Interfaith Medical that has volunteered.
Okay, great. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you? Hello.
We're here.
Okay, I just want to update with our program. You know, piloted a rapid response in November 2006 and piloted in one med-surg unit and then extended to the whole hospital. And we have been getting good results, and now we are planning to expand it to the radiology areas. Apparently, we had an incident where, you know, a family member collapsed and they called a code on that area. So, you know, we looked into the situation and we are extending it to that radiology area. We have a little bit of resistance from the medical staff in that area, uh-huh. but, you know, thinking extensive education so that we can, you know, take care of that issue.
You're saying that the staff in radiology objected to people coming to help?
Well, actually, it was the doctor who was in charge of radiology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I got to say that that's pretty atypical. Usually, you know, you get a big thank you. Because radiology is one of the most, you know, and this is, you know, some of my best friends are radiologists, but, and they'll be the first to admit, that's a dangerous place in the hospital.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not covered by people with real expertise to take care of serious acute events.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, so, you know, for everybody on the call, I would make that a high priority. The people you're sending down to radiology, they tend to be sick people.
Uh-huh.
With the thinnest coverage of people who really know how to manage sick people. And I don't mean doctors. It's the nursing staff. It's everybody else. It's not what they do day in and day out. So, yeah, that should be a high priority for everybody to put on their list of places to roll out to.
Yeah.
All right, that's great.
Okay, thanks.
Anything else, Lisa?
No, practically that's our new venture, like extend it to different, you know, like those dark areas
uh-huh.
where, you know, people get sick and we can
right.
go and help them out. Yeah.
That's great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Operator, is there anyone else, or should we call upon a couple other people?
I'm not showing any further volunteers at this time.
Okay. I did hear Westchester County Medical Center is on the line.
And no one will escape Hillary.
If they could press the one key at this time.
You can run, but you can't hide.
Or I'll open you up myself.
Yeah, Jonathan, I think Jonathan, the operator, is the one no one can escape from.
Well, they don't appear to be pressing that one key. Would you like me to open their line?
That would be great.
Okay, and the hospital again was Westchester?
Westchester.
Okay, great. Opening their line now. John?
John, anybody home?
Hello? Anyone from Westchester?
Hillary, I think Westchester's afraid of you.
Okay. I don't know if it's...
Jonathan, we can come back to them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, another one that I heard is on the line is Syosset.
If you could press the one key at this time. Oh, okay, they're willing.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Maureen?
Yes.
Hi.
Yes.
So we just want to hear kind of what the other hospitals have been doing, just some of the work that you've been doing with the rapid response intervention, any barriers that Dr. Rosen can help out with or others on the line having to do with implementation.
Yeah, we've been doing it since last April.
Okay.
We don't have an ICU nurse. We have a nurse that comes from the ER. And we have the nursing supervisor who's on the house responsible for the paperwork. And if she gets to the code in the ER, to the response, and the ER nurse can't come, then she'll call up to our special care unit and see if anyone else can come from there.
Okay.
So that's been working out well for us. You know, we're a small hospital.
Right.
So it's kind of easy for us to do that.
So a little bit different model than some of the others
right.
we've heard of,
right.
which is good to hear.
All right, but you think it's working for you?
Yes, it does. It works.
Okay, whatever works is the correct model.
Yes. We don't have that many. It's increasing, though.
Calls, you mean?
Yes, the calls are increasing, yes. We have a psychiatric unit inpatient, and we get quite a few calls from there.
Okay.
Which, you know, works out well for the psychiatric staff. They're very happy with that they can have this help when they need it.
Oh, yeah, psychiatric staff love it because, you know, if there are medical issues, clearly, you know, and sometimes it's a question with psychotropic drugs and, you know, there are medical complications of them.
Exactly.
Somebody gets tachycardic, somebody gets out of it, you know. So, no, the psychiatric staff generally loves these things. All right.
And anything else just in terms of publicizing? You feel that everyone adequately knows about the rapid response?
Well, we did in the beginning, went around to all the auxiliary departments and let them know, and that they could, especially in radiology where the patients go, they could call a rapid response if they had to.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a mandatory education day for nurses, and it happens, I think, twice a year here, and every nurse from Syosset Hospital in Plainview go to this course, and rapid response, the whole thing is gone over. Education is given at that time.
Right.
And every time we do that, we get we get more rapid responses called after that because they're more in tune to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it.
All right. Good.
Thanks, Maureen.
You're welcome.
All
right, folks, I'm gonna have to tune out now. I'm getting called. Hillary, would you let me know if there's any other issues I can help out with before the next call?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Any last questions, comments that I can help out with?
Oh, Andrea is queuing back up.
Okay, great.
Hi.
Cabrini?
Yes.
Yes. Hi.
Hi. My name is Debbie, and I'm a registered respiratory therapist on the response team, one of them.
Yes.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
I was curious, how do you charge for the rapid response?
You mean bill for it?
Yes.
Let's put it, if there's a physician there and they are capable of billing, I don't know about respiratory therapy, and maybe somebody else can help on this, but in terms of physician billing, you know, if a physician who is authorized to bill, meaning not a resident, you know, does a medical service, one, you know, that it's perfectly legal to bill for it. I don't know how the therapist would generate charges for that, but let's open up the line to anybody else who does. Is that what you asked? Is that your question?
Yeah, that's my question. You know, you bill for codes, you bill for, you know, everything has a billing code. I just didn't know if this is something so new that there isn't a standardized code, or can we get one somewhere? I just didn't know.
Well, look, this could be at, you know, at least on the physician end.
Yes.
This is an inpatient visit,
uh-huh,
of high, medium, or low complexity,
mm-hmm,
with a diagnosis, shortness of breath, tachycardia, something like that.
Right. Okay, great. The other thing is, in our hospital, we have a lot of talk about one of the rapid response calls. It was a worker who fell off his ladder.
Hmm.
So that's one way rapid response got around the hospital quickly, by that anecdotal little thing that went off. He fell off the ladder, hit his head, and the nurse called a rapid response to a strange area in the hospital. So people were talking about that, which helped improve awareness.
No, and that's great. And I know he wasn't registered, and you probably didn't send a bill to him either. But,
we were trying to figure out how to do that. He went to the ED, and he does have a chart now.
Well, you know, that's what generally happens. You know, somebody drops down in the coffee shop, they'll end up in the ED.
Right. So that was interesting. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hillary?
Yes?
I guess it would be helpful. I didn't hear anyone talking today yet about how they publicized it with their public relations department.
Uh-huh.
And is there any outreach we should be doing to the public relations department to help promote the program and get it in newsletters and other areas?
So, operator, can we, again, if press the one key, any of the hospitals, if you have any kind of response to Terry's question?
So far, I'm not getting any volunteers.
Because I know, Terry, some of them at the beginning talked about some of their internal, the way that they publicized the initiative internally, especially at the beginning. But that is a good point. How can we
motivate the PR department to really focus on this issue as being very important and help our PR person work with their hospital's PR person? If everyone thinks it's interesting and there would be value even to introduce the team and the concept, whatever it would be.
even to also link the RRS website to your own hospital's intranet. Hospitals did that in the CLABS initiative, and it helps folks when they log on. You can read about the RRS team, who they are, and how you activate the team through the intranet, and then a direct link to the RRS website. So, Jenny.
Anyone?
I'm not showing any.
All right, so you can continue your roll call, Hillary.
Okay, I just think Terry's point's a really good one, though, and if we want to think about it, because we're going to be talking about the Jenny website in a few minutes anyway, and it's just as Terry said, a lot of people in the CLABS initiative did that to publicize and promote awareness. Okay.
Hey, this is Mark. Listen, I gotta check out now, so call me back later if I can be of any help.
Okay, we'll be posting to the expert on call part on Jenny.
All right. Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you,
Mark. See you guys next time. Okay, bye-bye.
So, Terry, we could do one of two things. Do you want to keep going with the roll call, or do we want to go on with the agenda for some of the other things?
I guess we can go on to the agenda and then circle back with the roll call if we have time.
Perfect. Okay.
So do you want to go through the Jenny, Hillary?
Sure. So just a little background. Terry gave, as part of the learning session on the 15th, Terry gave a really brief overview of the Jenny website. And we put together for this conference call, which we sent you yesterday, just a few, about 8 screenshots, because we really, really, really want to encourage all of you to go on Jenny. Check out the resources there and post some of your experiences on the website. We had great experience with the CLABS collaborative website, which is our other collaborative, and we're trying to make the website very similar and as user-friendly as that one was. So just over the past couple weeks, we added quite a bit of information to the site. So I'm just going to take you through some of these screenshots, and Terry and Zainab, interrupt me if you have anything to add.
And I think what Hillary is doing now is a very, very useful way of introducing the collaborative and the initiative to other folks in the hospital.
Exactly. And just, it's not a password-protected site, so they can easily get on this. And if you even ever want us to give an overview of the site to staff, we've done that before, and we've even had residents and others call us because they thought that the information was very helpful on the site. So the home page, just to repeat, and we know some of this might be repetitive, it's jenny.ipro.org/RRS. So that's to the home page. No www. Just jenny.ipro.org/RRS. And then you do all have, you're registered with usernames and passwords. So the usernames and passwords, if you log on, you can post your own things rather than having Zainab or I post them for you. So your usernames are all the first letter of your first name and your entire last name. So mine, for instance, is HJLon. And then your password, so everyone's password in the collaborative is let me in, all one word, except for people that were already registered to CLABS. And if that's you, you can just call us and we can tell you what your password is. But for the most part, everyone's password is let me in. So on the screenshot that I sent you, the first one, there's a few things that we circled because we thought they're the best areas for you to check out first. Some standard things are just there. You can click on the monthly rapid response data collection form, and the revised form will automatically pop up right from the home page. It's just a simply one click, and it's right there. And then the other area that we really encourage you to go on is the expert on call area. So it's an area that says ask the expert on call a question. And we show you some screenshots a little bit later. And then the other areas that we have arrows next to, they're new on the site. We put every bit of materials that was in the SBAR training session, the binder of materials, all of them are on the website now, the presentations and everything, and we'll show you a screenshot of that. The other thing that's now up there, pretty much all of the presentations from the May 15th learning session. There's a couple that aren't on there still, but for the most part, most of them are up there, and all you have to do is click on this link to get right to that thread. And then another area which we encourage you to not only view but post information, if you can, is the Rapid Response Hospital Best Practice section, and there's already quite a bit of information up there from New York Hospital Queens, John T. Mather Hospital, and many others, and we want to continuously improve that section and add to it. And then finally, the other part that we have a square box around, because some had called us about rapid response hospital policies. So we have a bunch of hospital policies. We have a whole section for that. So that part on the homepage in the handout we sent to you, it has a big square around it. So now we'll just go through a few of the screenshots, and then we'll take some questions from you in case you have any about the content up there. So the SBAR communication sessions, we've included the key presenters' presentations up here. So Janet Nagamini and Michael Leonard, this was from the April 12th and 13th SBAR sessions. Both of their presentations are there. I'll make a note that we asked them to for their video clips, and they are going to give them to us. So keep posted. A lot of you wanted them. We're going to post it right in this section. They're going to be sending them through mail because they're too big to email to us. And other tools that are on there is an SBAR toolkit from Kaiser Permanente. All that information is up there. So please take a look. There's lesson plans on how to implement SBAR communication. There's an actual group exercise that gives directions on how clinicians can have effective conversations with one another. And finally, there's several article abstracts on SBAR communication. So definitely go to that link. It's a popular one already. We've noticed a lot of people have been viewing it. The next screenshot shows just some of the materials from the May 15th learning session, so all the faculty bios, the agenda, the opening statement from David Gould, the Senior Vice President here at the United Hospital Fund, and some of the hospital presentations who were on the panel discussion. We also will be posting the simulation training afternoon session presentations, and stay tuned because the entire session was, Terry, if I'm saying this wrong, please correct me, streamed, and the audio and visual of the entire learning session will be on the Jenny website, and you'll be able to actually see the speakers talking through their presentation.
Exactly. The only thing, we will not be aligning the speaker with the presentation, so everyone will have to click the presentation themselves because it wasn't a live streaming video. But we're looking into that, and we'll send out a notice as soon as it's posted.
Thanks, Terry. And then one other sort of fun thing that we're going to be including on there, too, are the photos from the learning session. And we also encourage you to post those photos and include them in your own internal newsletters. So the next slide, we just want to show you. I won't go into too much detail about that because most of you know about this. We have the audio recordings of each of the rapid response conference calls. So if you ever get the urge to listen to a conference call that you weren't able to participate on, every audio recording is included there, as well as the materials that we handed out for each conference call. And they're usually posted about a week after the conference call. Okay, and then the next slide, which I do want to, the next couple actually, the rapid response best practice and information sharing section. Right now we probably have about 3 or 4 hospitals materials there. It includes things like New York Hospital Queens gave us a great pocket card, so the design of that is included there. There are some procedures and algorithms that hospitals have developed. John Mather Hospital gave a great example of some of their educational and how they publicize the rapid response intervention. So there's some great materials up there, and we are really encouraging you to post your own materials up there or send them to us, and we can do it for you. But it's just a really great way of sharing your experiences with your groups. I'll tell you the collaborative part of Jenny with this particular, the best practice part, there's been so many views to it, and so many people have taken the content on there and have just adopted it to their own surroundings. So we really encourage you to post to that area and look at that area. And then the next screenshot is really just the shot of what the data collection tool looks like and where it is on the Jenny website. So again, you can get it right from the homepage. And then the next screenshot just gives you a flavor of some of the rapid response hospital policies that we have online. There's a variety of different kinds of policies from very small community hospitals to larger academic centers, so please take a look there. And finally, the rapid response expert on call section. Right now, the screenshot that we have listed here has about five different discussion groups. We really, really want to put more out there. So any question that you have about the collaborative, if you ask me, we are going to include it on this area. And Dr. Rosen has been really vigilant about looking on this area, but nobody has really posted to it. I keep comparing it to the CLABS collaborative because that's what we had the most experience with. If you look at that expert on call section, there are probably about two dozen threaded discussions of question and answers. And I just think it really, really helps other hospitals and hospitals in the collaborative just to see some of the kinds of things and questions that people have out there. So one last thing I'm going to say about this is something about reputation points on Jenny. The iPro, when they developed Jenny, has this thing where there's a little area that says thank you, and you can give people reputation points if they post something or do something on the website. And we've noticed that people get this friendly competition from these because they want more and more reputation points. And Terry and Zainab had put some new members on Jenny, and they already have a lot of these reputation points, and they just get really enthusiastic because it's almost like a little reward when they see, you know, that this person is full of great ideas, and all these really cute sayings come up as you give people reputation points. So, Terry, Zainab, anything else to add?
I think that's it, Hillary, but we really do continue to encourage folks to use the site and get the message out. I just will always like to bring the group back to the real premise. As UHS and Greater New York put together quality initiatives, not only are we targeting individual safe practices and best practices, but more importantly, through the CLABS and then as the rapid response system, we're trying to create a much more substantial infrastructure for quality and patient safety initiatives. How can we disseminate best practices and evidence-based practices quickly? What are team compositions? How do we engage non-clinical staff in clinical safe practices and what their role is? And how can we communicate on an ongoing basis so everyone understands the information? I find it interesting in another program we have, the Quality Coach Fellowship Program, where we invite all levels of staff to come in and train to be quality coaches. There is a tremendous amount of enthusiasm, but I'm always fascinated because no one in the room, maybe one or two usually, who are quality folks, have seen the CMS website and the publicly reported data. And very few people have an understanding of patient satisfaction surveys and safe practices and reporting of infection rates. And now we'll be looking at publicly reported mortality rates for AMI and pneumonia. And this really will be a reflection of the New York healthcare system. So as we talk about the RRS, we really want the data to improve, and we want to save more lives through this initiative and show it works. But most importantly, we're really continuing to build an infrastructure and a network throughout the New York region so that we are reflected in publicly reported initiatives as the best in the country. We train the most doctors in the country. We train the most nurses. We invest a tremendous amount in training, but we're not really great at creating the infrastructure to support all of the quality and patient safety initiatives that are out there, probably just due to the sheer volume, due to the culture of our institutions and the multiple languages that we speak. So we are severely challenged in many, many respects. But through the CLABS, and now I'm seeing it through the RRS and the Critical Care Leadership Network and the Quality Coach Fellowship Program, we have a tremendous amount of activity going on. And I always want to step back and say we don't want to train or educate unless the education and training goes much further than the people in the room the day of the conference. We see you as messengers, as prophets, to go out and spread the word and to promote all of these quality and patient safety initiatives, because otherwise a year from now when we walk away from an initiative, the initiative could walk away, and we want to make sure everything we do is sustainable for the sake of the New York and New Jersey and Connecticut healthcare system. So I just have to be on my soapbox again. Apologies, Hillary.
Oh, I like it. True.
So as everyone's thinking about the RRS, always try to think about the big picture and how many people impact upon the patients in the hospital, not only the professionals, but the non-professionals. And someone gave the example of when someone fell off the ladder, and now it's spreading the word that this service is available. So that's it, Hillary.
True. No. Thanks, Terry. So why don't we just kind of stop here for a second and see if anyone has any questions about what Terry said or about the Jenny website or about anything by pressing the one key.
We did have someone just a few moments ago that queued up.
Okay.
And it's Michelle from St. Luke's Roosevelt.
Okay. Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Oh.
Hi, it's Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Okay.
Did you have any thing you wanted to say?
No, not at all.
Okay, maybe...
Someone might have just pressed the one key on accident.
Okay.
Okay.
Anyone else, operator?
Right. Oh, yep, we just got Linda.
Yes, hi. This is Linda from Nassau University Medical Center.
Hi, Linda.
How you doing? I was wondering if any of the hospitals out there review the codes that occurred outside the ICU to see if there was a missed RRT call, and if so, who in their hospital reviews those?
Okay, so I'm going to ask the operator if actually I can do it myself. If anyone wants to talk about their experiences with reviewing codes outside of the ICU and their process for doing it, press the one key.
Any volunteers quite yet?
Nope.
No volunteers at this time.
Well, that actually, Linda, is the type of question we want to post on Jenny. So either you could do that or we could do that.
Okay.
And then we'll get some answers there, and we'll encourage you to continually look in that area where we post it right after the conference call.
Okay.
That's a great question for the website, because there's probably a lot of different ways of doing that out there.
Very good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure. So, well, I guess we'll go on with the rest of the agenda, and then at the end we'll take just any last questions and comments. Terry, did you want to talk a little bit about the perinatal rapid response?
Sure, I would love to. As I had mentioned, as we put together these collaboratives, we're trying to expand them to different areas. And one of the areas that we received a very small amount of grant funding was for additional rapid response system work, and we thought we would focus on the perinatal area and invite Dr. Michael Leonard, who did some of the SBAR training, and a physician who is an expert on fetal monitor readings and how to identify early warnings of potential complications for the mother and the neonate. So we're planning to roll this initiative out sometime in late September. It will be a mini focus within the Rapid Response System Collaborative. We will be inviting the RRS current members to join first, and hopefully those of you who have perinatal services will be participating, but we will be extending you on the call the first invitation to join the initiative. If there's not enough interest, we will be expanding it to other hospitals with a special focus of the Hudson Valley area because the grant requires us to focus particularly on the Hudson Valley area, but that does not limit us from including everyone in the initiative. So we'd love to hear from you about this idea. Any thoughts if you're doing work in this area already, how we can complement your current activities, and what you would like to get out of it. We would love to be able to work with you because now we have the infrastructure in place, and you would be able to readily identify the key contacts and key players in your organization to come to, one, the kickoff meeting, and then to be the real drivers of this initiative in the hospital. Just as a little background, Greater New York and others have various Med-Mal proposals on the table up in Albany, and one of the areas is participating in a perinatal safety initiative so that hospitals could potentially have a reduction in their medical malpractice rates related to perinatal issues and complications. So that said, any ideas, thoughts, suggestions, you can let me know now on the call. I'd love to hear from you about the idea. Feel free to let me know your thoughts, number one, and then number two, email us your thoughts, and we will be sending out a letter of participation to each of you to see your interest and for you to help motivate others in the perinatal services to fill out the application and identify the core group of team members. For this particular team, since it is so unit-based, we would need a large group from each area for each of the shifts, so the chief of services, who the major attendings are if you don't have a teaching model, who the key nursing staff are, both on days and nights, because we will require night and weekend staff coverage, and what supervisors cover those areas, and any pediatricians that you think should be part of this initiative. So we're really excited about this particular initiative. We think it has a lot of potential, and there is a lot of learning going on in this area. And some hospitals I know have already been working with their carrier, Med-Mal carrier, on putting together perinatal safety issues with initiatives with Dr. Leonard. So we'd like to enhance those initiatives and then complement those initiatives through this RRS infrastructure. So anyone on the line interested or thoughts or suggestions, or are you doing something in this area?
We do have Anne Marie from St. Charles Hospital.
Oh, great. Hey, Anne Marie.
Hey, Terry, it's Nikki. I'm here with Anne Marie. How are you?
Good.
We actually have just completed our code hemorrhage policy and procedure here at St. Charles. How do you see this corresponding to a perinatal-focused rapid response system?
Through early identification of potential complications and calling the right people to the patient's bedside quickly, whether it's the lab, respiratory therapy, whatever services are needed.
The other initiative that we've undertaken here about a year ago is Team Performance Plus, which is the Harvard initiative.
Yes,
and
I remember.
And that's actually system-wide of Catholic Health Service.
But I heard, so I... You know, Hillary and I and Lorraine Ryan, who from Greater New York, will be working on this initiative. We'd love to be briefed on everything you're doing if we could set up some time with you.
That'd be great.
Thank you so much, Nikki.
Oh, no problem.
Thank you. And we also had Monica volunteer from North Shore.
Hi, Monica.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I just wanted to make a comment about your fetal monitoring. This is the first time that we actually have put the same educational processes for our residents and nurses to be certified in fetal monitoring. And actually, last May, there was 36 of our physicians and nurses who took the fetal monitoring certification, and 35 passed out of 36. So we certainly are very interested in participating in this RRS collaborative here at Manhasset. And my educator for maternal child I consider her a great resource person. So when that initiative is going on, I would like to be included.
Absolutely. We will be sending information to everyone that is part, all of the 33 hospitals that are currently in the rapid response. Mm-hmm. So you are the first hospitals being offered this opportunity.
Thank you.
And since we will be on a very rigorous, tight timeline, we will be trying to get letters out before the July 4th weekend. The application process will be very quick, that we would want responses and the teams identified sometime mid to end July, and then the details of the program will follow from there. If we don't hear from hospitals on time, we will be offering it to other hospitals, and since participation will be limited, at that point, it will be first-come, first-served basis, and when we get your application in the queue, you will just be put into that regular queue.
Okay, great.
So if you want to coordinate for all North Shore Manhasset and get the information to Hillary real quickly, that's fine, too.
Okay.
That's the whole truth for anyone on the line.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
You have to wait for us.
Thank you. I'm not showing any further volunteers at this time.
Are there hospitals from Hudson Valley area on the call that would be interested in this? Hillary, do you have the list there?
I do. Well, we have Westchester County on the call.
Right.
And then St. Luke's Cornwall, would that be considered Hudson?
Absolutely. And there was Benedictine, are they on?
They're not.
Well, anyway, we will be reaching out to those few hospitals because they will also come into the first pool of invites to the program.
Okay. So I guess we can go on. We just have a few more things before the end of the call. We did want to talk to you about follow-up for the SBAR sessions that we had, we held on April 12th and 13th. Terry, Zainab, and I had a conversation with Janet Nagamini the other day, and what we thought would be a great way to have follow-up with you, rather than having another face-to-face meeting, have a series of conference calls. And these conference calls would be in follow-up to the SBAR communication training sessions, where we would be asking those of you that came to the sessions to describe some of the things that you've done since April 12th to begin piloting the SBAR communication at your hospitals. We gave you a sheet with the conference calls, a little bit different times than these. They're from noon to 1 Eastern Standard Time. And the dates that we chose are there Tuesday, June 19th, so that one's coming up. And we will be contacting some of you before then to share some of the work that you've done to start implementing SBAR. Friday, June 29th, and Monday, July 16th. Janet Nagamini will be on all of these calls, we encourage you and others who went to the SBAR sessions with you who aren't on this call to join these conference calls.
And just to provide you a framework for this series, every week we will be using a real tight IHI-type model where at the end of the call, hospitals will be committing to do one activity related to SBAR. And it could be just as simple as giving everyone a flyer about SBAR with their paycheck. It's not complicated. But we, again, want to try to continue to generate strategies for dissemination of information and continue to create that infrastructure.
Exactly.
And any thoughts on those weekly activities as far as what you believe would be helpful for your institution? If you could let us know ahead of time, we'd love to utilize them as part of the initiative over that three-week time.
Yeah, and just to sort of add on to that thought, anything that you think what you're doing with regard to implementing SBAR at your hospitals that you think is unique or something others would want to hear, please contact us also, because we know a lot of you were really, really excited after the sessions, and we'd love to hear your practices.
Exactly. And we would encourage you for those conference calls to reach outside of your group and reach outside of the folks on SBAR. Again, inviting some of your chiefs of medicine, unit managers on the patient care units that were not part of the program, because they really are pivotal to this whole quality improvement process. And we know they're overworked as it is, but without them, I'm finding on most initiatives we have more struggles and more barriers. And also your public relations staff, so that they could chime in and think about ways in which they could help promote the program as they begin to better understand it. So we strongly encourage you to invite a friend, consider it a lunch and learn, serve lunch at the time, and utilize it as a real learning opportunity. Janet is, as you all well aware, she's from IHI. She's an expensive resource that we are supporting through the grant on this project. So we want to make the most of this opportunity.
And we'll be sending out reminders about these calls very soon. So just if you could spread the word and let others throughout your hospital know about them, that would be great.
Yeah, education departments also.
So we have the only other things that we did want to talk to you about, just a data update. A lot of you had been getting calls from us during this week because we're trying to make the best and most complete data set possible for the rapid response data. Rafael Ruiz, who's on the line with us, had given us a list of hospitals who hadn't submitted the data. So we've gotten in contact with the majority of you at this point. We've gotten a lot of data back that we hadn't had, so thank you very much. And Rafael, do you have anything more to say about the hospital report that we'll be developing?
Just that I'm working on it, and hopefully we'll be able to feedback in a style similar to CLABS, hospital-specific data for quality improvement purposes.
And our intent with all of the data is once we have each hospital's data and Rafael has compiled the report, we're hoping in another couple of weeks, probably about 2 weeks before the summer really kicks in, to send a report to all of the hospitals and to the CEOs and to help gain additional support for the group. For your teams to promote the RRS collaborative so that they better understand what the initiative is.
So for those of you that we don't have all of your data, it would definitely it would be great if you could send it to us and we could include that in the data set. And just one more word about that. The April 2007 data was due to us this past May 31st, the Thursday. So for hospitals that we haven't received it, and we've spoken with a couple of you, but please send it over to Rafael or me.
And the last thing is that I would ask, not everyone has transitioned over to the more current, the new data reporting form. And as Hillary mentioned earlier, it is on Jenny, and it'd be much appreciated if you could start using the new form if you haven't already done so.
Thank you. And actually, there's only two other things that we have on the agenda and then anything else that we want to add at the end. But one thing, the July call was going to be smack in the middle of the 4th of July holiday. So that it's going to be on July 10th, so Tuesday, July 10th, a week later than it would be, at same time, 2 to 3:15. And the only other thing that we wanted to let you know is that we put together the evaluation results from the May 15th learning session and sent them to you so that you could see the overall results, which were positive. There were a lot of positive comments about the panel discussion and the interactive discussion and Q&A that followed that. So thanks again, to all the panelists and to everyone for participating in that. Terry, is there anything else we should add?
No, I think that's it, Hillary. We covered a lot today, and I want to thank everyone on the call who provided feedback on how their program was running. It's really, really helpful to share this information.
It is. So, and my last words will tie on Jenny, because there will be more and more information out there over the next always. So, operator, we'll one more time ask if there's any questions, and then we'll wrap it up.
Certainly. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question or comment at this time, please press the 1 key on your touch-tone telephone. I'm not showing any questions or comments at this time.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jonathan, and thank you to everyone on the call.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your participation in today's conference. This does conclude the program. You may now disconnect. Good day.